The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 34, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 8, 2012, in Triolet, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Majaji Mang Namaskuru Mamme Vaishashi Yugdvaivang Atmanang Matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader so that to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators did not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being, he is the absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Karma Purana, as it is quoted by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhashya commentants on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter, Adi Leela, verses 41-48. Deha dehi vibhedo yang neshwari vidvake vachit. This means there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some people make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demoniac. They also think of Krishna, envy, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from the bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service of a Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahma-dhoti and localized Paramatma, but a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There's a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme reward of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish, and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta report of the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapra Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Vagnitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Garavani Pacharini Nivishesha Shunyavari Pashchajade Shatarane. So one has to be very careful about the commentaries of those who have no scruples, who don't mind changing the meaning of the words of Krishna, who don't mind changing the words of Srila Prabhupada. You see, the unscrupulous commentators, they want to establish that they are great authorities, but they do nothing but establish that they are rascals. That's all they do. The actual science of bhakti is passed down without addition or subtraction from the previous acharyas. Mahajano yena gatastapanta. One should follow the pathway chalked out by the previous acharyas. If we try to change that pathway, then we spoil it. You see, you cannot make some new improved teachings of Krishna. That is cheating. Well, I will make some new improved teachings of Krishna. I will change them and make them politically correct. You see, this politically correct is bogus nonsense. We want to know what is scripturally correct. Politics is always changing. You see, we want to know what is scripturally correct, not politically correct. You see, politically correct means vox populi, whatever the majority thinks, is it? If the majority says it's okay to kill babies, it's considered okay to kill babies, you see. If the majority says it's okay to kill the cow, then it's considered politically correct to eat the cow. Political correctness is based on popular vote, popular opinion. But when the populace or Shudra class are less than Shudra class, they have no brains to know what is right and what is wrong. It's So we cannot base what is right and wrong on the political correctness. You see, it's the wrong idea. You cannot base right and wrong on what the majority feels is the correct thing. Because the people don't know. They're ignorant. They're completely ignorant. They don't know who is the Supreme Godhead. They don't know what is their duty, that they must surrender to the Supreme Godhead. They say that there is no God. Or they have some sectarian idea of God only in our religion, you see. But religion is one. It is to become a pure lover of God. It doesn't belong to any sect. God is everyone's property. We are all the children of God. Every child has the right to approach his father. Yes. God belongs to everyone. He's not the property only of the Hindus, of the Christians, of the Muslims, of the Sikhs, of the Jains, of the Buddhists. You see, God belongs to everyone. He's the father of all living beings. So when you try to limit God's access only to a certain group, that is called sectarianism. That is cheating. You see, because God, everyone has access to God. Simply you have to love God, that's all. If you love God, then you have access to God. So if you love God, you will take his words as they are. You won't try to change them. You see? If you truly love God, you won't try to change his teachings to suit your own sense gratification. Love means how to please my beloved. Just like the mother, she undergoes so many difficulties to make the child happy. Not that the mother thinks the child has to adjust for my pleasure, no. She thinks I have to adjust for the child's happiness. You see, that is love. You adjust your position for the happiness of the person that you love. You sacrifice, you see. So if we truly love Krishna, we won't change the teachings of Krishna to make them suit our sense gratification. We will change our habits to bring them in harmony with Krishna. That is love. Otherwise, it is simply cheating religion. I'm using Krishna in the name of Krishna. I will do all nonsense, sense gratification. I'm a Hare Krishna. You see. Now, if you're truly Hare Krishna, a devotee, then you will do whatever Krishna wants. You will give up your nonsense, whatever it is, and you will become completely surrendered to Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. So are there any questions? There's some papers passed around for a question. I don't see any papers today. Oh, they're all in one person's hand. No? Oh, the papers are coming. Okay. I don't need papers. Questions? Oh, there's questions on them already. Oh, okay. Well, they were blank. Why is Krishna considered supreme amongst all the Hindu gods? First of all, Hindu is a misnomer. Hindu is a word coined by the Muslims. It's a Muslim term. Hindu is a Muslim term. So if we're Muslims, we can say Hindu. It's a coin that came from, term that came from the Muslims. Describe those people who lived east of the river Sindhu. They're called Hindus because they pronounce the H like S, they pronounce the S like H, so they said Hindus. So the first thing is they're not Hindu gods. The gods described in the Vedas, that's more accurate way of describing. Krishna is supreme because he's the source. They all come from him. He's the origin of all the gods. Therefore, I'm naturally superior. Kurukshetra was considered a holy place before the Mahabharata. Why? I don't know. But I know that also the they went there. There was a solar eclipse. All the Vrijabhasis and the Dwarkavasis got together at Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. And that's when the Vrijabhasis got to see Krishna again after a long separation at Kurukshetra. In which part of the Vedas are Puranas, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is mentioned many places, especially the Kali Santarana Upanishad. It's mentioned. Can you please explain the importance of the three modes of material nature? Actually, they're not very important. It's like, tell me the importance of the prison over here. It's not a very important thing. The important thing is how you can qualify to be out of the prison, you see, that is important. By surrendering to Krishna. That's the important thing. How to develop a taste for chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Prabhupada said, just feel the presence of Krishna. Do you think Krishna and his name are different? What do you think? Is Krishna and his name different, or are they the same? They're the same thing. So just feel how Krishna is present, and then you will taste the nectar. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. If while doing the Maha Mantra japa we commit offenses, will we make spiritual progress? Not very much. How to convince a person in Maya to adopt Krishna consciousness? That's you, right? You're in Maya. How can I convince you to become Krishna conscious? That's the first thing. Well, I have to convince myself, you see. I have to get out of Maya first. That's the first thing. If I'm going to convince you to get out of Maya, I have to get out of Maya first. So, if you want to convince a person in Maya to adopt Krishna consciousness, you get out of Maya. You see, that's what you have to do. If you get out of Maya, then you can easily convince them to get out of Maya. That's the secret. It's like I say, don't smoke cigarettes. It's bad for you. Will I be very good at convincing you? No, I'm smoking. I'm telling you, don't be in Maya, become Krishna conscious. But I'm in so much Maya myself. And how I can convince you? So if you want to convince somebody not to be in Maya, you stop being in Maya. Simple thing. This is my last question. Is there any more? Any papers floating around? I can go home after this. There's no more question. There's one. If you want me to stay, ask more questions. Otherwise, I can go do some. I have many questions on the email. I can go answer those email questions. If Krishna consciousness is a way to get peace of mind for a person, if Krishna consciousness is a way to get peace of mind for a person who's often distressed, please. Yes. The answer is yes. We are all in distress in this material world, and the only way we can truly become happy is become Krishna conscious. Any other idea of happiness is bogus. It's false happiness. The only genuine happiness is to become Krishna conscious. And the way to do that is Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshvadam Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantam Ritshati. If one knows Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend, he alone can achieve peace. You want to speak some more words on this? To explain how the one becomes happy by Krishna consciousness. Huh? This is the last question, so we'll wrap it up now. Oh, here comes someone. Okay. Does anybody have paper and pen out there? I think the questions are written before the lecture. The thing is, let people write questions while they're hearing the lecture, and that way we get more questions. But no one has any paper and pen to even write the questions down. Yeah, these were all done ahead of time, I think. And there wasn't many. Okay. Ajamiya got a second chance. How was his life before he went astray? He was a very fixed up Brahmin boy. Very good Brahmin boy. He wasn't a pure devotee, but he was a young boy, completely regulated in mimical life. That's it. He wasn't engaged in any sinful activity, very pure young boy. But one day he went to gather firewood in the forest, and there was a sudra couple having sex pleasure in the woods. And to see it completely bewildered his mind. He was totally bewildered. He became fascinated. He knew it was bad, it was sinful. But he could see they were enjoying. They were in a state of intoxicated bliss. He was wondering, what is that happiness they get having their illicit sex? His mind became attracted. What is the happiness you're getting from that illicit sex? He tried to drive it out of his mind, but he couldn't do it, you see, because he was a Brahmana, but he was not a Vaishnava. He had not gotten a taste from Krishna Bhakti. Only he had been trained to be a regulated boy, you see. And he didn't have the power to get that thought out of his mind. So finally he got that woman as a servant in his house. And gradually he got rid of his wife, he got rid of his parents, and he became the servant of that prostitute. His whole life he served that prostitute. Engaging in criminal acts to satisfy her lusty desire to bring money, a lot of money. Became a criminal, very debauched criminal, just to satisfy the lusty desires of this prostitute. In this way his whole life became spoiled. But because of his early training as a Brahmana, he named his youngest child Narayana. He was 80 years old. He was still having children, if you can imagine. He named his youngest son Narayana. And you know how you're very affectionate to your young child. Oh, Narayana, Narayana. The young child is very affectionate. So he was accustomed to calling out his son. And all of a sudden the Yamadutas come. So he called Narayana. And because of that, the Yamadutas weren't allowed to take him. The Vishnudutas said, he has uttered the name of Narayan. In an innocent way, he has called the name Narayan, so you cannot have him. Okay, in Nectar Devotion, it is mentioned that it is easier to have liberation than devotional service. Please elaborate on this statement. I'd like to see exactly how it is stated in the Nectar Devotion, because that will make a difference. I don't recall the exact sentence to know exactly how it's stated there. So, is there a Nectar of Devotion handy? You can show me the exact statement in the book. Then I can give you a very good answer. If there's the Nectar of Devotion is present in the house. A And then you can look it up. This is your question? Whose question? If you, then you can show me exactly where it is in the book. Or maybe your husband can find it in his iPhone. There's an, I can get the exact statement.
It's easier to have devotional service of Krishna, but it is easier to get liberation than to have devotional service of Krishna.
Because Krishna is...
Let me see it. Do you have it?
This is stated in the books that because Krishna is can be bought by devotional service, because of this it is given rare.
It's rarely achieved.
Yeah. Because Krishna can be bought by...
Only by pure love. Yeah.
Pure devotion.
Yeah.
This is rare.
It's one statement which confirms this point. As Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasrishu kashchin yati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin man viti tatvataha. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And out of a thousand to achieve perfection, that refers to liberation, the impersonal liberation. Hardly even one can realize me. So what Ms. Mataji has, the question she is, it's a valid question she has asked. It's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. That out of the thousands who actually achieve liberation, hardly even one will realize Krishna. So if you can show me where it is in the book, then we can study it in more depth. It's a valid principle. This is very good to get these understandings. The key is to scrutinizingly study these books, to make an inquiry and to discuss. And then keep reading and reading and reading and reading and discussing. This is a whole lifetime activity. Not that I read them one time the books, now my business is finished. No. Now I got my Bhakti Shastri degree, business is finished. No. Our whole lives we should continue studying and from many angles of vision to understand what are these wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So they're looking for it now. Okay, any other questions in the meantime?
Meantime, I want there was a question about why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Over the Hindu gods. Okay, yeah. You can answer that one. Go ahead.
So whose question was that?
Here's your...
Who asked that question?
Here it is.
About the demigods. Why Krishna is the Supreme... Who asked this question? You don't know?
No, I knew it. I wrote it.
Well, if you know it, then I can tell you that why Krishna is supreme. When you go to job, there are so many bosses. There are so many bosses. But there is one main boss who is the owner of the business. So... Is all the bosses going to be the boss, the highest boss, or the one will be the supreme boss and the other one? So demigods are like that. Krishna is the supreme, everything, they are the managers, and they are managing the material world. So that's how we can see the demigods as the managers. Not all the managers become the supreme boss, supreme authority.
Okay, another question. Kadasi means, what does it mean and why do we fast? Kadasi is the 11th day of the waxing and waning moon. That day is very auspicious. It was so auspicious that sin personified could not find any place. So he was given residence in grains on that day. Therefore, sin exists in grains on the Ekadasi. We cannot take them. on that day. Is being in the mode of goodness enough to make spiritual progress? No. You can remain in the mode of goodness for millions of births and still not go back to Godhead. You have to come beyond the mode of goodness to the mode of Krishna consciousness, transcendental goodness. There's sattva gun, which is goodness, and there's shuddha sattva, that's devotional service, pure goodness. In other words, the material mode of goodness is not completely pure. It still has tinges of passion and ignorance. So if you want to come out of the material modes of nature, you have to come out of the mode of goodness also into the mode of pure goodness, devotional service. In the scriptures it is said that the living beings, there are living beings in other planets. So far science cannot find any living entities, even in the moon. That means science is not very advanced. They're still back in the dark ages. Their science has not advanced very far yet. Any luck on finding that quote? We'll stop here. And a reminder, this is the Prabhupada marathon going on now. Everyone should distribute books as much as possible. Go store to store, approach people in the street, go door to door. Just give it to your family, your friends, sponsor books to be distributed. Somehow or other, everyone should participate in the Prabhupada marathon to distribute Prabhupada's books for the benefit of the people of this world so that they can all have a chance to read Prabhupada's books. So we thank you very much.
We have some Bhagavad Gita's for distribution.
Okay, we want to ask who will sponsor these four, they will take them for distribution?
Yes.
Or purchase them?
Purchase them or take it for, however, purchase.
How do you want to manage it? They pay something now or they take them on consignment? Pay something now. Okay, who wants to purchase Gitas that they can then give out as gifts or they can just
individually
sell them?
They can purchase it and get your signature or...
Or they can purchase it for themselves and get a written blessing for themselves. Okay. Better just tell them what to do. That's the best thing.